And welcome to the Detroit Golf Club. We're here for the second round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. This is cut day today. Bob Kraus is joining me once again. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me again, Mark. I really appreciate it.
So cut day, to me, is the most exciting day of the whole tournament, even more so than the championship. We were talking about it this morning. The championship round on Sunday, the final round, you kind of know I'm going to finish second, I'm going to finish third, I'm going to win the thing. It's a big deal to win, but there's movement. Today, the field gets cut where you're either in or out. You're either getting paid or you're not. And that's a lot of stress on these players. As we're watching, a couple of our amateurs are right above or below the cut line right now. They want to get in, but your thoughts on a day, on Friday?
Yeah, you're either going to make money or you're going to spend money. I mean, you've already spent a couple grand to get here and all the other things that go along with this. And either you're going to play well and you make your expenses back or make a little extra on the side. And just hope you don't have a two-way miss on the range early on, you know what I mean?
There's been a lot of talk about Miles Russell, the 15-year-old. He's 3-under today. Puts him one stroke below the cut line. He's through 12. 15 years old, you're playing on the PGA Tour, you're one stroke away from the cut line with just a few holes left to play. That kid is, he's steel, man. He's fun to watch. He's energetic. He's 15.
He's very poised.
Very poised.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I saw him yesterday on 15 on the Tryon Cabana. And he hit a great shot to 8 feet. Unfortunately, didn't make birdie there. And then I just saw him tee off at 10 here. He just ripped it down the right-hand side. He had like a little 9-iron in. I didn't see what he did on the other hole. But like his poise and demeanor and the way he carries himself is just very impressive. And he's got a very bright future, as we all know.
We're going to be talking with Jeff Judge in the next segment. He is the chairman of the Junior Amateur that's going to be taking place at Oakland Hills, where Miles will come back. With a lot of other talented young players. We're looking forward to that conversation. He's actually with us now. I wanted to get both of your comments. You've had an opportunity to walk around the course to see some of the action. This is the sixth year of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's a PGA Tour event that's different than most, Jeff, in that it has a lot of impact in this community from the standpoint of we're one of two events in an urban downtown footprint, Atlanta and the Tour Championship being the other. What are some of your high-level thoughts about PGA Tour coming back to Detroit and being played at the Donald Ross Detroit Golf Club?
Well, first off, Mark, thanks for having me. I think it's fantastic what Rocket Mortgage, Dan Gilbert, did to bring golf back to Southeast Michigan. It had been a long time since we'd had the PGA Tour up at Warwick Hills. So to bring golf back to the community here, there's such a passion for it in this area, but most of all to bring it to Detroit, to be able to let the community around here get exposed to golf, be part of it, what it does to give back to the community in terms of all the foundation support that it can give. I couldn't be prouder of the city for hosting it and for Rocket Mortgage being the driving force behind it.
And Bob, really the whole ecosystem of sport in Detroit right now, we remember the days of the early 2000s when the Ryder Cup and the Super Bowl and Major League Baseball All-Star Games, that all went away. And now you're starting to see the announcement by Oakland Hills with all of the USGA events coming in. This and the Grand Prix are the two annual events that kind of are the backbone that surround our four pro teams. But the draft and all the city is really thriving right now.
Yeah, and thanks to Rocket Mortgage. I mean, obviously, Mark, you're a big part of that. And, you know, Michigan and Detroit is really becoming the place to be. In all reality, we've had, you know, the Red Wings actually made a nice little run at the end there. The Lions are doing great. The Pistons hopefully are going to make a turn here really quick. Rocket Mortgage is good. The fan experience here is amazing. I played, 10 years professionally, and what I realized at this event is the ropes are closer to the players. Like you can actually get up really close to these guys, and you can see their reactions on the good shots, bad shots. All the viewing areas that you guys have done out here have been just fantastic.
7 different viewing areas for the public where there's not that additional cost to get close up front, elevated, be able to see fans. That's a big deal. There's an individual from this area that's important to all of us. He's with NBC. He does an incredible job promoting Detroit. He's on the board of the Rocket Giving Fund. Probably one of the best broadcasters of all time, not just this time. Mike Tirico, who will be at the Olympics. He's covering most of the events now, but he is so important to the game of golf. He does racing. He does gymnastics. He does everything. You know Mike. Incredible guy.
He's just an amazing guy. And I think that he's – you ever watch the old Star Treks where Data, you know, you just plug him into the wall?
Right.
I mean, the guy is just amazing. So, and his knowledge across the board on all sports is so impressive. I've never seen someone that has that kind of knowledge that can literally call a golf tournament one day, a basketball championship, then fly overseas and call a F1 race or whatever he's doing, or a Super Bowl. I mean, it's really impressive. And you being your former AD, you've been around it all a lot. For you to give, Mike that kind of accolades, it really means a lot. Mike is the real deal.
And
obviously,
Jeff, I know he's out at Oakland Hills quite a bit and does so much for a lot of the programming that you have out there.
We couldn't ask for a bigger proponent for Southeast Michigan for getting big sporting events here and just such a quality individual.
It's I've been talking to him, and it's interesting the type of folks or the folks that are going to be complimenting him. They've got Snoop Dogg, who's going to be one of the anchors at the Olympics. They've got Peyton Manning, who, they say he's football, but he can adapt to everything. And then Kelly Clarkson, the first winner of American Idol. So they're obviously going for a different vibe with the Olympics this year. So it's going to be fun to watch that. The competition out there, you've looked at the leaderboard. Some of your thoughts, Bob, on what's going out on the course today on cut day?
I think the guys are going low. I think it's out there to be had. I mean, overcast skies, greens are going to be soft, fairways are going to be wide, obviously, because the ball's not rolling out. So I think if they can get keep those greens up at the 12 or 13, I think they're at right now, and they're rolling pretty strong, I think it's going to remain to get low. I think the cut line will probably go to 3 or 4. Hopefully the young man, the 15-year-old, can sneak a couple birdies out.
When people say that the course is soft, most minds go to the green, that the green's easier to manage, but the fairways are really the difference maker of, is the ball going to stay in the fairway, which it does more, I think, when it's soft.
Yep.
When it's firm and hard, the opportunity for that to go into the rough is going to be enhanced.
I call it like plug and play, right? So like you hit a drive down the middle, or let's say you come off it a little bit, or you kind of pull it a little bit, your chances of staying in the fairway are greater if it's softer. So it's a little, everything increases another 10 or 15 yards actually in your mind. So you can take a little bit more of aggressive line. You can take a little bit bigger rip at it. You can certainly fire at the holes. They're not playing lift, clean, and place, are they, today, Mark?
No, okay. Only the one that went down into the drain.
Oh, well, that's pretty
cool. Who was that, Dave? Who hit the ball? It was like putt-putt, right? It went right down into the drain.
Batia.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that. We got the left-handed Batia. He's playing good. He's already won a couple times on tour. He won this year already. So I think he could be the guy that could get to 24, 25 under. If it doesn't get dry out there, it's going to be 24 to 26, I believe.
They're gonna chase after the lowest of all time. So it'll be fun to watch. We're gonna be back here on Focus from the Detroit Golf Club, talking with Jeff a little bit more about what's happening out at Oakland Hills with all the USGA events, but especially the one coming up, the Junior Am here in mid-July. We'll be back on Focus right after this. Welcome back to the Detroit Golf Club second round cut day here at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. The Monster is ready for the return of its championship of the past, 7,300 yards on the South Course. Both courses are going to be used. And to tell us a little bit more about it, Jeff Judge, the former president of Oakland Hills Country Club and the chairman of the U.S. Junior Amateur. Jeff, it's great to have you with us here on Focus.
It's great to be with you, Mark.
So the event is, they announced it. It's like, oh, that's a long ways away. And now it's here, the first of eight, I believe it is, that are coming in from the USGA.
That's right. So we've got eight USGA championships coming up over the next 25 years, the first being the U.S. Junior Amateur. Super excited about it, and it's coming fast.
The event is toward the middle end of July, July 20 through 22nd through 27th.
That's right.
What's the experience going to be like? We know a PGA Tour event is usually 4 days. It's Thursday through Sunday. What's the format for the Junior Am?
So the Junior Amateur has 264 of the world's best amateur golfers. These are all golfers that are 18 years or younger, coming from around the world, as far away as Sri Lanka, China. So it's really an international event. First 2 days are stroke play, so we'll use both the north and south course. They'll play a round on each, and there'll be a cut to the low 64. One of the most exciting things of the Junior Amateur, the U.S. Amateur, is there's typically a playoff to get out of the field of 64. That'll happen on Wednesday morning on the north course. and then we'll move to match play over on the South Course only, starting on Wednesday, culminating with a 36-hole final match on Saturday to determine the champion.
You may not know this off the top of your head, but you may. How many rounds of golf will a young player play from the time they start until they win a championship?
The two players that will get to the final, it'll be almost 200 rounds or 200 holes of golf.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of golf.
And the qualification process, when you look at those 264, what's the pathway for them to get their spot in the Junior Am?
So the USGA awarded about 75 exemptions based on AJGA standings. Miles Russell would be an example of that, number one ranked AJGA player in the world. There was 48 qualifiers around the United States, Mexico, and Canada. They just wrapped up this week to fill out the field. And then a new qualification that the USGA started just this year is the winners of state junior amateur championships automatically get an exemption into the junior amateur. So for Michigan, that's coming up here July 8th through 11th. So we'll have another local Michigan golfer that will be participating, which will be super exciting.
That's great. We have this little bond because we have so many young players playing this year in the Rocket. We have more chocolate shakes going out than Guinness's. So it's fun to have that connection. And, you know, your friend of mine, Mike Dietz, connected us together. And you have such a great collection of members that believe in this event, want these championships out there. And it's exciting that they're coming back to this marketplace.
It's been 8 years since we've hosted a championship. This will be our 12th USGA championship, and it's really part of our DNA and our vision, and our membership embraces hosting these.
For people in the area that love golf and want to see these future players, that many of which will be playing on the tour, what's the experience like for the fan? How do they get access to the course? What's the cost, and what will they see out on the course as far as the opportunity to watch these players play?
So the Junior Amateur is open to the public. There's no ticket sales. We've got parking at Bloomfield Hills High School. We're actually working on a couple other locations, just given what we expect to be some increase in attendance. Yep. Rideshare drop-off as well to get out there. But once they're there, it's really a limited ropes experience. You walk down the fairway, stand, 10 yards away from these fantastic players, and you're right up close. So it's a very unique experience to watch high-level competitive golf.
Yeah, and the Charlie Woods effect is going to be in coming to here, so you guys are going to get a real quick advanced education on crowd control here real quick, especially if Tiger shows up. And so how you guys think you're going to handle that?
We've got a lot of planning going on since last Wednesday when he qualified, and we'll be ready. I mean, we're used to hosting championships. This is taking it to a little bit of a bigger level with Charlie qualifying and the expectations around that, but there's plenty of other talented players that are coming that have, and Miles Russell obviously being one of those that's got a lot of brand recognition, and even more so now playing here.
I would actually like to see Miles Russell pull this thing off. He's a great kid. I mean, we talked about it earlier. He's a great kid, so it'd be good for the
USGA. Love to see him make the cut. Talking about the course itself, it's gone under some renovations out on the course, some trees. I was mentioning to you before we got on, I lived in Pittsburgh in the 90s when Oakmont did a much more dramatic reduction of trees. It was kind of there. They saw some aerials, and they were taking it back to the way the course was designed. Was that the same with Oakland Hills?
Yes. When we hired Gil Hands to do our golf course restoration, he really took the course back to what Donald Ross had originally intended it to be. So this is the first championship that course is going to be played the way Donald Ross originally intended it to be, and it's going to be first time for it to be on the world stage, which is super exciting.
So the listeners, just when they go out and the viewers go out and watch the, how do you guys gonna dress the golf course out? So the first few rounds are going to be, not as much rough. The greens are going to be a little slower. Can you give these listeners and people that are going to go out there and watch these kids play? Like, obviously the last match is going to be harder, longer. The greens are going to be faster, that kind of thing. I mean, is that the process you guys are going to take on this?
So the USGA will handle course setup. The rough is going to be at 4 inches. The fairways are going to be firm and fast, and the greens are going to be quick. So they're setting this up like a U.S. Open setup. It's going to challenge these young players, and it's going to be great to see how they handle it. In terms of course length, it'll be 7,300 yards in the south. I suspect during match play they'll start moving some tee boxes around, maybe create some short par fours, give players an opportunity to, take a gamble if they're down and want to try and make a birdie. So it'll be interesting to see how they move around. But the first 2 days, you got to get 264 golfers through. So that's a lot of play.
Yeah. And it also, you have to make that separation of play. Like if it's the tamer a course is, you can't separate the 264, and that's one of the reasons the USGA comes in and boosts it up a little bit, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Members loving this? Is it something they embrace and have pride about bringing that onto their home course?
They are embracing it. I think now that it's here and it's real, it's really, I think, given our club something to rally around as a membership. And certainly with some name recognition now of some of these young competitors, that's, I think, made it even more exciting.
Is there anything else? These guys are going to come into town, and it's 256 is 256 kids playing. They're going to have families with them. They're going to be enjoying downtown Detroit, Birmingham, other locations. It's really, these kind of events are so good because folks from the outside get to come here and see our community, talk about it, and so many of them want to come back afterwards. And that's one of the exciting things about hosting visitors.
Absolutely. I think for folks that aren't from here to be able to come see what Southeast Michigan has to offer, what the greater Detroit area, it's just great exposure for us, and they'll spread the word. And as we said, this is the first of 8 USG championships, so we've got a pretty regular cadence of these over the next 10 years with 4. So
the story I always like to tell, Jeff, is back when the first event came in here and we were telling players you have to stay downtown at the Shinola, and they're like, they begrudgingly, they're, you know, and then right after that first year, they're like, can we get our room next year already? And it's, they love the hotels that we have here. They love the restaurants. And I don't think that was the perception. The NFL draft took that to another level of folks coming into town and seeing it and having a great time.
Absolutely.
Well, I wish you all the best and luck. You know, we're all there to support all that you have. Golf is so important, whether it's in northern Michigan, down here. This state thrives on the sport, and we appreciate what you're doing to bring this great event to Southeast Michigan.
Well, thank you, Mark. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate you. Any other? You got to have something else.
I'm just curious about where the range. Like these, you got a 256 players. I know what you guys normally do in the U.S. Open, or you use the North Course, you know, 10 and 1 tee as a range down there. Where are you guys going to place these kids for range?
Maple.
Practice?
They're going to hit right down Maple. Mark's backyard. I mean he's
got the biggest house in Birmingham. So. Uh-huh.
That's not true.
So they'll use the same range the members use. Obviously, they're going to be restricted in what they can hit. They're not going to be hitting drivers. And we've got some arrangements at other locations for them to go, you know, work through the whole bag. But
that's a great question, though.
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys out there.
Another logistical challenge you have to figure out. So yeah.
That's fun running these, isn't it?
It is.
So. Jeff Judge, he will be chairing the U.S. Junior Amateur coming into Detroit and Birmingham and Southeast Michigan July 22 through 27. Great opportunity for you to get out and enjoy that. We're going to be back with Charlie Besser. Automotive News is brought to you by Bridgestone. Getting people down to the road matters, but getting generations down them, that's what really matters. Bridgestone. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more. We'll be back right after this.
It's an amazing thing how a company that most people have never heard of can support so many other businesses and then let them down when things go wrong. In auto retail, CDK Global is that company. It's the biggest provider of so-called dealership management systems. That's the collection of apps and servers that auto retailers need to operate. It's deeply involved in how new and used cars are sold and financed, among countless tasks it handles. So the cyber attack that led CDK to shut all operations has been incredibly challenging for the 15,000 auto dealers that use it. Some customers have already sued, seeking damages for lost business. While that probably feels righteous in the moment, they should be mindful not to weaken the company or sue it out of existence. That would only leave the industry with fewer and smaller partners to fight off future attacks from digital bad guys. With this week's Automotive View, I'm Jamie Butters, host of the Daily Drive podcast and executive editor of Automotive News.